for just a little while this morning in the book of Proverbs chapter 31. All of you know the verse, the text, the scripture today, and I'd just like to just bring you a few thoughts out of that particular text. I appreciate all of you young folk here in honor of your mother. Honestly, I do. Thank you for being here today. Good friends are here, and I appreciate your attendance of honoring your mother and being here. I would to God today that I could be with mine. I called her yesterday, and it don't do much good to call unless you can yell real loud. Mom don't hear well. I think she has selective hearing. I don't know if you know what I'm talking about or not. But I got to call her yesterday and thank her for being a good mom and told her son loved her and needed to borrow some money. And she said, "Huh?" But I'll tell you, what would we do without godly mothers? Amen. In your Bible, the book of Proverbs, chapter 31, verse 10, asks the question, who can find a virtuous woman? What a question that the wise man would ask. Who can find a virtuous woman? Now, mind you, you already know that the man who asked that question had 300 wives and 700 concubines that made 1,000 mother-in-laws. And he was looking for 1,000 for a virtuous woman. He said, "For her price is far above rubies."
Amen. Yes, sir.
In Solomon's day, rubies were a very valuable commodity. Probably in that day, the most precious stone. So he picked that which is most value and said that a virtuous woman price was more valuable than the most precious stone of his day. Her heart, the heart of her husband, doth safely trust in her, so that he shall have no need of bailout money. He can trust her with a credit card. He could trust her with his checkbook. Trust her with anything he had. A virtuous woman. She will do him good and not evil all the days of her life. She seeketh wool and flax and worketh willingly with her hand. Those two words, worketh willingly. Went to a home one time and sat down on the couch. And suddenly I felt the couch moving. And I looked down and there's a cockroach under each leg. And one in the front of the couch saying the blessing on the food as they walked out the door with me sitting on the couch. The lady said, "I'm sorry, I just haven't had time to clean the house today." And I looked around and I said, "It must have been an awful long day." Dishes on the table had begun to grow. She worketh willingly. She like the merchant ships, she bringeth her food from afar. She riseth up also while it is yet night, giveth meat to her household and a portion to her maidens. She considereth the field and buyeth it. With the fruit of her hands she planteth a vineyard. She girdeth her loins with strength and strengthen her arms. She perceiveth that her merchandise is good. Her candle goeth not out by night. She layeth her hands to the spindle, and the hands hold the distaff, and she stretcheth out her hand to the poor. Yea, she reacheth forth her hands to the needy. She is not afraid of the snow for her household, for all her household are clothed with scarlet. She maketh herself coverings of tapestry. Her clothing is silk and purple. Her husband is known in the gates. When he setteth among the elders of the land, she maketh fine linen and selleth it and delivereth girdles unto a merchant. Strength and honor her clothing. She shall rejoice in time to come. She opened her mouth with wisdom, and her tongue is the law of kindness. She looketh well to the ways of her house. She eateth not the bread of idleness. Her children rise up and call her blessed. Her husband also, and he praiseth her. Amen. Many daughters have done virtuously, but thou excellest them all. Favor is deceitful. Beauty is vain. But a woman that feareth the Lord, she shall be praised.
Amen.
Give her the fruit of her hands, and let her own works praise her in the gates. Wow. What a scripture. Virtue. Who can find a virtuous woman, the wise man said. If you can find a virtuous woman, that her price is far above rubies. Virtue. According to the dictionary, there's four definitions of the word virtue. The overall meaning of virtue is strength. But the first definition of virtue is a high standard of morality. High standard of morality. If ever we needed a high standard of morality in the home, with what Hollywood is pumping in on a regular basis, it is a high standard of morality. Would you agree with that? If ever. And you notice, if you would please, and I want to ask you if this is not true, God dished out different things to men and women. If you have not noticed yet, there is a visible difference. You usually start noticing that visual difference at the maybe in the teen years. You ever notice when you used to go to the movie and when they put that syrupy scene in there of a woman, it just spoiled the movie. Yuck. What's a woman doing in the movie anyhow? Then at about 14, it began to get more interested with the women in the movie. Have you noticed that? Well, we notice that there's a visible difference in men and women at a very early age. And then we notice that God has also given out attributes to women and men. Men, God has given authority, strength. Amen. I'm old fashioned, I guess. I better not go there. But God has not only given men authority, God has given women influence. If you don't believe me, you show me a woman that's wanting to do something, and I'll show you a man in 30 days that'll be doing it. God has given women influence. God has given men authority. The man is the head of the home.
Amen.
Even as Christ is the head of the church. But in that home, when man, the authority, is gone and outdoing what needs to be done, there is an influence in that home that is unshakable and unmistakable. God put woman in the home for influence. I don't know if you recognize that or not. Have any of you here ever heard or ever said, "My mom is crazy"? Mom, have you ever thought that some of your kids ever thought you were crazy? I believe a lot of times moms have to act crazy just to stay sane. A manic mother, a crazy mother, is one of those ladies who strives to make it through the day with her sanity intact. Some signs that you or someone you know is a manic mother who someone has said they're crazy. A manic mama is one who focuses on the needs of her children and spends the entire day feeling vaguely uncomfortable, not realizing that she hasn't been to the bathroom since early morning. A manic mother is one who calls time and temperature just to hear an adult's voice. My mom's crazy. A manic mama is one who cannot remember the color of the carpet in the teenager's bedroom, even if it has carpet. A manic mom is one who thinks pizza, not milk, is the perfect food. You agree? A manic mom is one who can spell a dirty diaper 100 yards upwind. My mom is crazy. A manic mama is one who cannot tell the difference between the teenager's clothes and mechanic rags in the garage. What a shame. A manic mom is one who eats leftover spaghetti cold and likes it. You know any moms like that? Spend all day long trying to take care of somebody else. A mother's job is a 24-hour-a-day life of total sacrifice. And yet we walk about calling them crazy. Even disrespect them and call them the old lady sometimes. Of course, that's when we're cool, when we can call our folks old man or old lady. And our text describes the attitude and actions of number one, look at verse number 10, a virtuous woman. It describes also the virtue of a faithful wife, verse 11 through 12, and a caring householder in verse 13 through 26, and a godly mother, verse 27 through 31, and the word virtuous and the word virtuous woman encompass all of these four things. A virtuous woman, a faithful wife, a caring householder, a homemaker, and a godly mother. Godly mothers have always played a major role in the Bible. If you read your Bible, you'll find that Eve was the mother of all. Hannah, the mother who prayed. Mary, the mother who went all the way to Calvary with her kid John and James's mother, who came to Jesus speaking on behalf of their children, wanting them to sit on the right hand and the left hand side, and then also the mother of Timothy, who taught his children, her children, the Word of God. Mothers have always played a significant role in the life of successful men and women throughout history and in the Bible. Someone has said, so goes the mother, so goes the family. So goes the family, so goes the church. So goes the church, so goes society. If you want to know why society is in the shape she's in today, you probably have to look at the house to find the reason. Don't look at the church and start blaming the church. You have to go to the house. If you want to know what's wrong down to public school, you don't have to go down to the independent school board meeting to find out what is wrong. Just go to the home. That's where the problem is. If we could educate the parent, we could educate the kid. Parents are put in homes for a reason. And I want to talk to you this morning about a godly mother. Now notice I said godly, not perfect. I don't know any perfect mothers, but I do know some godly mothers. And God does not speak of perfect mothers. God speaks of godly mothers, virtuous mothers, homemaking mothers, earth-shaking mothers, wives that are faithful to their husband kind of mothers, and mothers who are godly. And I think by example and by observation, by experience, by knowledge, I know two godly mothers. And I am so blessed to be related to both of them. One is a son and one is a husband. I watch a godly mother every day. I've watched a godly mother for all these many years, as my wife Ginger has raised two of my kids. Perfect? Far from it. Not even close. Godly? Yes. Amen. She rises early, and I know where to find her. Before it is ever day, she'll be at the table with her Bible,
Amen.
Her pencil, her pen, and her helps. And there she spends an hour or so praying and reading for her kids. I just wish she'd pray for me every once in a while. She probably prays, I wish the old man would hurry up and get out of here. My mom, a godly mother. When I talk about godly, I do not mean perfect. Now, ladies, I do not mean perfect. I do not mean you're not allowed to blow your fuse occasionally. I've never seen my wife blow her fuse. I've seen her blow up the house. But she always said, I'm sorry, we'll build another one. I'm just kidding you. Godly mothers. I'd like to talk to you. Would it be all right for just a minute? I look at the clock. It's 11:13. How about 10 minutes? Can I talk to you about godly mothers? Let me talk to you about godly mothers. Godly mothers are born again mothers. They are saved mothers. They have been born again. They know something about a relationship with Jesus Christ. It's not just a church deal. It's being born again. It's being born from above. It's being a recipient of the Holy Spirit of God that comes into your heart and takes up housekeeping and begins to give orders and begins to rule and reign in that place called the heart. I'm talking about a Christian mom. I'm talking about a mom who loves Jesus. I'm talking about a mom who's going to heaven. I'm talking about a mom who tries to walk in the power and the Spirit of the Holy Spirit of God. I'm talking about a godly mom. Can anybody say amen? I'm talking about a saved mom. Somebody knows what it is to be saved. Somebody knows what it is not to be on their way to hell. Somebody knows what it is to be delivered and forgiven of all their sin. Somebody that can treat their kids like Jesus Christ treats them. I'm talking about a Christian mom. I'm talking about not only a Christian mom, but I'm talking about a consecrated mom. A mom that is dedicated not to the world, but to Christ. Somebody who would rather have an inward beauty than an outward show that's going to pass away with the age of time. I'm talking about somebody that has an inward consecration to a loving Savior who came and died and rose again and seated at the right hand of God the Father today. Somebody that can help their kids through difficulties, hardships, sorrows, heartaches, and everything that come down the pike. I'm talking about a mom who's consecrated and converted. Is that all right?
Yes, sir.
I said, is that all right? I'm talking about a godly mom, a Christian mom, a consecrated mom. I'm talking about a courageous mom. A courageous mom who can fight off the warts of the devil and all the fiery darts of hell and do it in faith and believe that the God of the Bible is sufficient in every situation. Talking about a mom who's courageous enough is to face every day of their life with faith in Jesus Christ, not bowing down to the world, not bowing down to this old Satan, not bowing down to the whims of time, but a courageous, consecrated, converted mother in Jesus Christ. Is there anybody here? Well, I lost some of you. I'm sorry you stayed up late last night. I didn't care who won the ball game anyhow. I'm talking about moms who are courageous. Courageous enough. And I'm just going to mess around with me. Courageous enough to put a little young boy who's never been out of the state on an airplane with nobody on it that she knows and sends that little young boy still in high school out to California. Anybody goes to California and needs an entourage of bodyguards. I'm talking about a mom who's not afraid to put their baby in the arms of Jesus and trust Jesus is going to take care of that kid. Talk about a mom who put their little boy and the family on an airplane, send them off to Thailand, leaving that kid and all of his family in the hands of a wonderful God.
Amen.
Courageous.
Amen.
Consecrated. Converted moms. Talking about congenial moms. I know none of you folk know all about this, but when I was a kid, everybody's welcome at dinner. I'd walk in there with four or five snotty nosed, beat up, dirty, bratty looking little kids and walk in the house and say, "Mom, we're here for dinner." Not one time did she ever run one off. Not one time did she ever make those boys feel unwelcome. She always had enough beans and potatoes and cornbread and fried potatoes. Dear God, I'm hungry already. Ham hock floating around them soup beans, dear God. Fresh cut tomatoes, onions laying on the table, cornbread this big around. Dear Lord, congenial and generous.
Amen.
You understand what I'm talking about?
Yes,
congenial and generous mom. Who said, if there's not enough, we'll cook some more. Yeah, that's what my mom used to say. Yeah, we'll just cook some more if there's not enough. Come on over here. You boys want to spend the night? Oh, by the way, we only took a bath on Saturday. And my mom said, take the sheets home with you and let your mama wash them and bring them back. No. Congenial. And generous. I'm talking about godly moms. That are moms who influence and moms who make a difference. You say, well, I just don't have time to do all that. Well, the Bible talks about a mom that is a counselor. Look at verse 1, if you would please. I want to show you this. And this is just guesstimation and it's summation. And it's It's pretty good. Notice in verse 1, the Bible said the words of King Lemuel. The prophecy his mother taught him. In all of history, we cannot find a king by that name. In all of history, in all the diggings, there's never been a king found by the name of Lemuel. Great Bible scholars assume, and please, it's assumption, that Lemuel was a nickname given to Solomon by his mother, Bathsheba. If that be true, Bathsheba is counseling her young son on how to be a godly man. Do you think maybe we might need some mothers at home who's proficient in this book and can sit down with the kiddos and give them godly counsel in who to date, how to date, when to date, what age to date, what to do on the date, and what not to do on the date, and where to go to school, where not to go to school, what to wear, and what not to wear, and why to wear it, and why not to wear it, and blow so on, and so on, and so on. I think we need godly mothers in the home that are Christian, that are consecrated, that are courageous, that are congenial, and are spiritual counselors for the kids. Can anybody say amen? When Napoleon was asked, what is France's greatest need? Without hesitation, he said, mothers. Could I ask you a question today? What is America's greatest need? It's not more credit. It's not another president. And it's not another bailout package. What America needs more than anything else in the world are godly influences in the home that'll help kids be raised in the way God would have them to be raised. That is the greatest need in America. Three kind of mothers I think we need today. The first kind of mother we need today is the kind of mother, now be careful, that can capture the children's heart. Every child that is ever born is born absolutely blank mentally. Everything that you know today, you have learned since you've been here. When you were born, you were one thought less than a moron. You couldn't even talk. And if you thought, it was totally about you. What you want, when you want it, like you want it, right now. Everything he is, he's learned. Which is not very much. But we need moms who will spend time with kids enough to capture their hearts. Who will absolutely capture their hearts. Now, I would pose you a question in hurrying along. Who or what has your children's heart? Who or what has managed to capture your children's emotions, devotions, and love, aspiration, desire? What does your kid want to do more than anything else in the world? And where do they want to do it? It's your fault. It's your fault. You can take
the blame. You can take the credit. And what our world needs today, if mothers, by the way, Mom, your adversaries are doing everything they can to capture your kid's heart. Flesh, this world, and the devil are trying to make addicts out of your kids. They're trying to make addicts. They're trying to get our kids, my kids, your kids, hooked on the world, hooked on the flesh, hooked on satanic things. And I'm saying to you today, Mom, you're the only hope the kid has got, because everybody, everything is trying to capture your kid's heart. Please don't get mad at me. I'm just laying that out there for you. And moms and dads, what are you doing to capture your children's heart? Motherhood is more than biological. Someone has said, if evolution is true, why do mothers still only have two hands? Are you listening? Listen to me. You say, my kids are gone. Got any grandkids? Don't cop out now. They're trying to steal. They're trying to captivate your kid's heart. It looks to me like that the cell phone business has just won most of our kids over. Amen. And so I say to you today, we must try with our dead level best to capture our kids' hearts for God, for them, and for this old world's sake.
Amen.
We need to capture our kids' hearts. Amen. Amen. I think every kid's hero ought to be their mom and daddy. I think every kid's hero ought to be their mom and dad. You say, well, I don't do anything. Start doing it right now. Because in verse number 28, the Bible says this, her children rise up and call her what? Blessed. Dear Lord, I'd hate to think that some stinking athlete has more of my kids' adoration than I do. Did you hear me? I hate to think that some rock artist or some little ninny on television that wears her mini has more adoration than godly mothers in the home. You need to capture your kid's heart. Secondly, we need mothers who can influence their children. Influence their children. Now, I want to just bring this. Notice when the kids are young, all attention is around mom most generally. Mama this, mama that, mama this, mama that, mama this, mama that. They even want to dress like mom, want to act like mom. Boys want to walk like dad, dress like dad, have a haircut like dad, stand up straight like dad. Says yes, ma'am, to mom like dad. And then they start to school. Wake up. They start to school. And then other influences begin to enter the equation, do they not?
Yes,
sir. Friends that's dressing different than they dress. Talk different. They become hip. You notice that? And friends begin to be an influence that mom and daddy used to be. And all of a sudden, they don't want to look like daddy no more. And little girls don't want to dress like mama no more. I know you don't know this. This is news to you. You have never seen this before. But you let her down when her dress starts changing and her attire starts changing. Their attitude will start changing.
Yes, sir. Amen.
And then their appearance starts changing.
Yep. Amen.
Now, where's all that start? It starts right here.
Right.
Mama, you're losing their heart. Somebody else is now calling the shots. The kids down at the schools got more influence than godly moms and godly dads. The appearance change, then the attitude change. Mom and dad is not as smart as they used to be. I don't know how they got so dumb in 2 or 3 years. Hello, is anybody here? I don't know why you're picking on me now. Well, I'm just telling you the truth. If God gave mama's influence, then why lose it to a bunch of little punky, snotty-nosed brats that don't pay attention to the mom and daddy down at the school? And then, of course, the teachers help a lot. They begin to teach that most of you kids are nothing but a biological accident. Unthought out. And you don't have a godly purpose on this earth. And your secular humanist begins to teach your kids that there's nothing more to them than this biology. And that our history in the past is all wet and socialism and communism and humanism takes preference over godliness, theology, biblical lifestyles, and we'll just kick the Ten Commandments out and throw the Bible out of school. And guess who's teaching your kids and influencing your kids now? You say, I don't believe that. Well, just go home and ask them to do something. Have you got any of those kind of blank looks? When you say, son, would you do this? Me? You're talking to me? In that tone of voice, you're talking to me? You ever heard of child protection? We need mothers who can capture a heart and influence children in a godly way. Is there anybody here today? Yeah, preacher, I don't like this kind of preaching. I don't either. But it's the truth, is it not? We're influenced very easily. Did you know that every kid that's in this place sees approximately 500 advertisements every day? 500 advertisements. And those advertisements are encouraging them to smoke, drink, cuss, marry, divorce, and abort. 500 every day on television, seated at the soap operas, eating with candelabras, in suits and dinner attire. Why don't they have one like old Archie where the guy just sits there, you know, and eats what's left over? Well, nobody likes Archie. Archie didn't last long. But the younger's been getting younger and the wrestler's been getting wrestler and on their way to fling them alone, they ended up in General Hospital. They've been doing that for years. 500 advertisements are influenced by advertisements, by friends, by teachers, and so forth and so on. And dear God, hey, how much influence can a mom have? You ever seen these great big old football stars on television, and when the camera gets real close, they never say, "Hi, Dad." Dad paid the way, has paid all of his life, taken the brat to football practice, sat there, kid sitting on the bench, ain't played one play, and Dad sat there for 10 years. Then all of a sudden he makes a touchdown and says, Hi, Dad. No, he says, "Hi, Mom." "Mom ain't been to one game. Hi, Mom." "Mom couldn't hit a ball with a bass fiddle. Hi, Mom." Moms have influence. "Hi, Mom." Great preacher to pass. I'm closing. G. Campbell Morgan, a tremendous preacher, great theologian, great author, had four sons that were preachers. One day a reporter was asking one of the young men, said, "Son, who is the best preacher in your family?" And the young man thought a minute, looked at his dad, and then said, "Mom." Mom. We need moms that can capture the hearts of their kids. And moms who can influence kids and closing. And moms who will stand for God.
Amen.
Moms that will stand for God. I never saw my dad in all of his life. Not a better dad in the world, I suppose. Love him dearly. I'd just give anything if I could spend just another day with my old dad. Never saw my dad read a Bible. I watched my mom read it through time and time and time and time again. If I owe anything as far as my spiritual upbringing and me being a minister for 45 years, it's to a godly mom who read her Bible and prayed. No mom ever stands so tall as when she's on her knees praying for her kids. Hannah prayed for Samuel, and God gave her Samuel. Billy Sunday one day told the preacher was making house calls. Came to a certain house and he knocked on the door. Little boy came to the door and said, "Son, is your mother home?" He said, "Yes, but you can't see Mom right now. She prays every day from 9 until 10. They said, "We'll wait. After 10, Mom came into the room. And the preacher said, "The very minute I saw Mom, and I saw the radiance of heaven on her face, I knew right away why her two sons were preachers and her daughter was a missionary on the foreign field." Hell cannot tear a boy or a girl away from a praying mom.
Amen.
Mom, pray for your kids. My question today is, why is there so many moms falling for the world and not standing for God? The value of a mom. Proverbs 31, she's priceless. She's practical. She's pure. She's a pleasure.
Amen.
She's pleasant. She's popular. And she is to be praised.
Amen.
A godly mom. I read this poem the other day and I thought in closing I'd read it for you. The bravest battles that were ever fought, shall I tell you where or when? On the maps of the world you'll find it not. 'Twas fought by the mothers of men. Nay, not with cannon or battle shot, with sword or noble pen. Nay, not with the eloquent word or thought from the mouths of wonderful men. But deep in the walled up woman's heart of women that would not yield, but bravely, silently bore their part, lo, there is the battlefield. No marshaling troops, no bivouac song, no banner to gleam and wave. But oh, these battles, they last so long, from babyhood to the grave. Moms, stand for God.
Amen.
Capture your kids' heart. Influence them for the cause of Christ. God bless you, moms. The Bible said, she is to be praised. Praise God for godly moms. Praise God for you moms that are here today.